Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Small business owner, you're special among Americans. You are a latter-day pioneer of our society and truly one of America's heroes. Welcome back, heroes. It's 13 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us today. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you'd like to join us, if you have a comment, a question, if you'd like to agree or disagree with me, if you'd just like to say hello, 888-822-8255. Wally Bach, as I promised you, is our guest today. And
or threatened you.
Yeah, okay, either way you want to look at it. Wait, Wally. Now, listen. Now, you got to do this in order here. Wally, well, heck, you're already here. Hi, Wally. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Jim. Gosh, Wally Bach, it's great to be here this morning.
Wally Bach is ready to go. Talk about impetuous. Wally offers a common sense approach to the digital age, and Lord knows we need that. There needs to be some common sense and some logic to this digital age, and Wally helps us do that. He helps a lot of people do that. That's what he does for a living. He's a speaker, an author, a columnist, a consultant. He publishes the Monday Morning Memo, of which I am a very fortunate subscriber. Wally, I like your email, your e-zines that you send me, your newsletters you send me a lot. I use them every week.
And well, you should.
I appreciate it. And we've got some things to talk about, folks. Wally, I've been telling the audience over the last, as I've been threatening earlier in the week that you were coming, I told them that we were going to talk about some online best practices, some e-commerce best practices. That's the word I couched our discussion in.
Well,
how about that?
I like that.
Doesn't that sound fancy?
It does. It sounds very consultant-like.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's also a great concept.
One of the things that I know about you, Wally, is that all the things that I read, not all the things, but some of the things that I read that I think I just take as being the truth, you kind of you debunk a lot of it because you actually go out and do a lot of this research yourself, don't you?
Yeah, we've been researching business users since 95
mm-hmm.
and tracking what, you know, stuff like what they want in the website and what kind of features they look for and all the rest of it. So.
What are you finding?
Actually, it hasn't changed much.
Huh.
You know, I was reading an article this last week. It was one of the big consulting things, and they said, "Oh, users now are more sophisticated." Well, they're not. They pretty much want to solve a problem or answer a question. They want their sites to be fast and quick and easy to get around. They want them to have lots of information. They want stuff to be easy.
That hasn't changed.
That hasn't changed. Human nature stuff.
And you know what? Fundamentally, that's fundamental. And 100 years from now, those particular issues will be identical. Well,
yeah,
it'll be the same.
I think part of the problem we have with hype about the net, and I've said this before, is that people have a vested interest in making it something different than business.
Yeah.
So you got Jupiter, who's always out there telling me that websites are going to cost $1 million, and you got people out there underestimating how this stuff goes, and you got people telling me stuff. Bill Gates and his friction-free commerce, that we're all going to be doing price shopping out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of this stuff is no different than when I crawled up out of the cave and wanted to sell Oog a stone axe. We're still pretty much human beings just like then.
You know,
we maybe dress a little nicer, at least you do.
Well, let's go back and talk about something for a minute that you just mentioned about a website costing $1 million. And you know, I've talked about this a little bit before, but I'd like for you to share this with our audience today. I read the Wall Street Journal. I see these companies that are just getting started. Maybe they haven't even gotten online yet, and they've already had an IPO, and you know, they got capitalization of $1.5 billion or $2.5 or something like that, and they report the one of the last things that's in the article will be that they lost $29 million last quarter. And all they've done basically is develop a website. Please tell me how they spent $29 million. I think when
I can only answer that in one way, Jim.
Yeah.
In order to lose that $29 million, they spent it very, very fast.
They had to in a quarter. Well, see what bothers me.
Well, first of all, let's understand that we're talking about accounting money, not real money.
Okay.
I mean, everybody who runs a small business knows that there's accounting money and real money. Accounting money is the stuff that you know, it accrues for this and you save for that and you depreciate that and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Real money is what you got.
Well, the reason, Bobby, the reason I ask this, I bring this up at this point, is when a small business owner out there who doesn't have a website reads something like that, he or she says,
"Hey, Jim, you're breaking up on me, buddy."
I'm what? Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. I was what? I was breaking up?
You were breaking up. I lost pretty much that whole question.
Oh, sorry about that. Well, the point I was making is that if there are small business owners out there who are thinking, if it takes $29 million to make that website, how can I ever have my own? And that's a bad message for them to get, because it doesn't take that much for you to have your own website.
No. I mean, here, it depends a little bit on what you're doing, obviously what you're doing with your site. But if you're going to put up a website today, you can do most of the basic business stuff with off-the-shelf materials. Now, you're not going to do it, I think, effectively, unless it's just a brochure for something around $500.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you can, but why?
Right.
You're probably going to be spending $3,000 to $5,000 at the minimum, and that's probably the most common.
And you're talking about now, let's differentiate between a website that's, as you say, sort of a brochure, maybe it's got a catalog or something like that on there. That's different from what I'm calling, maybe I'm incorrect in this, you correct me if I'm wrong, an e-commerce site where you can actually do business on that site.
Yeah, usually we use the term e-commerce site to mean somebody can sell something
right
there.
You can lay your money down and receive a product or service.
But let's understand that there are transactional sites. I like transactional better than e-commerce.
Okay.
And my reason for that is that there's an awful lot of transactions that certain kinds of businesses do that are not necessarily sales. An example would be you've got a company that does home remodeling, renovation, and you might want to have people come to your site and request brochures or request information or request your list of 10 tips for, you know, renovating a craftsman-style bungalow or something.
Right.
That's a transaction, and that takes a certain degree of sophistication, but it's not necessarily a sale. You're not going to sell that remodeling project online. And
what about signing up for a newsletter? Would you call that a transaction?
I would, yeah. I mean, okay. If you go to my site and you sign up for Monday Memo, which is free, that's a transaction.
Without a transaction. And
what I want to have my clients doing, Jim, is lots of transactions.
Good point. Stand by. Well, I want to talk some more about this when we come back. I've got some questions for you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what's happening out there in cyberspace and how you can be successful. Wally's the expert. Wally Bach is our guest. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stick with us. We are back. It's 24 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you'd like to join us, if you have a question or a comment for me or for Wally Bach, who is our guest this hour and our good friend. Wally, you were talking about transactions.
Yeah.
You were identifying for us the difference between what I call e-commerce and you're calling transactional, and I really appreciate you doing that, because that really hasn't been said on the show before.
Well, I don't think it gets said much. The fact is that for a lot of small businesses, e-commerce is not what we do.
Yeah.
We sell a service. It's out there as part of our marketing effort or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things you got to watch, and it's true for a lot of small business stuff, but really for the internet stuff, is what I call the Inc. magazine idea of entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
I love Inc. magazine, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that they do a great magazine. But they talk like the way you do a small business is you first get an MBA,
right?
And then you get a really cool suit,
mm-hmm.
and then you get venture capital, and then you cash out.
Right.
And in my world, that's not how most of the people I know do it. Most of the people I knew bootstrap it up.
Yeah.
And they're in the business to be in the business because they love what they do. They're not intending to cash out. They're gonna live it out. When you start then thinking about websites for those people, you realize that kind of slick, you know, IPO stuff is the same for websites. You don't want that either.
Well, that slick stuff is real and it's happening, but it's not every man. It's not for
the small business that, you know, small business is like today. I think it's like farming.
Mm-hmm.
In that, farm people do what needs to be done. If you're going to church Sunday morning and somebody needs to slop the hogs, you slop the hogs before you go to church.
Right.
If it's Saturday and something needs to be done, you do it. There's no weekends like in a wage earner household.
Mm-hmm.
That's what most of us in small business
do. That's right. That's exactly right. And there's no question about it. I agree with you. And I appreciate it.
Let me translate that to websites.
Okay.
Most of our websites aren't slick. And if you go out and buy a designer, you get an idea that you've got to have slick, you're probably going to have a crappy website. Did I say crappy on the air?
This time. Cool. Just this one time.
Cool. I said it twice just now. That's great. Crappy.
That's enough. That's enough.
Yeah, but here's the deal. The websites for business that are good are functional websites. They do something. You've got an objective for them. You can measure out the objective.
Mm-hmm.
They use technology. If it's a larger site, a fancy e-commerce site, I'm working on one now for a music retailer up in Illinois that is about as fancy as it gets technologically. That's because that's what's necessary. Mm-hmm. For most of us, it's a lot simpler.
Right.
But it can still be interactive, it can still be transactional, it can still work, it can still be e-commerce, which is a kind of transactional site.
Well, and you know, back again, keeping in mind this small business person that you've identified for us here, which I agree with you 100%, obviously I do, they're the folks that I'm doing this show for. And you know, start out with what becomes nothing more than a billboard on the superhighway or a brochure, whatever you want to call it. And maybe, as you said a minute ago, maybe that costs you $500, and then 6 months from now, you learn a little bit more, and you find out a little bit more, and you've got a little bit more to offer, and you make it you make a very simple transaction opportunity. You give them an opportunity to email you or something, I don't know what, and then you take the next step, and then maybe in a year or so, maybe you've got a place there where they can actually leave their credit card and buy something from you, and so maybe over that year you spent $5,000 or $6,000, but you didn't spend it all at once.
Maybe you do it in steps.
Yeah, incrementally. That's the key.
Let me push back on that just a little bit. I think there's a lot of people who have to do it that way. But what I generally write about and tell people is figure that if you're going to do a good, objective-focused, strategy-enhancing small business site, you're going to spend that 3 to 5 at a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may finance it, you may do a lot of things with it, but if you can make it happen that way, it is going to be way better than trying to do it the way you just described.
If your organization is ready to support that, though, see,
pardon?
Everyone, their organization may not be ready to support that. In other words, the business and the website may have to grow into that. Stand by, while we've got to take a break.
Yeah, it's the business that drives the website, not the other way around.
That's right. Stand by, we're going to take a break. Folks, it's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate. We're having a great visit with Wally Bach. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Come on back. Back. It's 33 after. Thank you very much for joining me. I appreciate your business. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Wally Bach is our good friend. Wally, I would like for folks to know how they can contact you, how they can sign up for your absolutely excellent newsletters, because you have more than one.
I do. Actually, what they should do is visit the website, which has got all the stuff on it.
Which is?
www. Try saying that three times.
I know.
Dot Bachinfo, BOCKINFO.com.
All right. And when they get there, they can find what?
Well, there you'll find little buttons and pull downs that say, look at the newsletters. There's a sign up for Monday Memo, which is the free newsletter that's on every page of the website.
Okay.
They will find an array of articles. We've now got over 300 articles on the site.
Okay.
From a variety of places, a lot of depth, special sections for small business and for retail.
All right.
So.
And now you've got a small business newsletter too, right?
I have a small business tips letter.
And what does that cost?
It goes 25 times a year, and it costs $15 a year.
$15 a year. Okay, good. And the Monday briefing memo, though, you charge for that.
Right? See, you managed to conglomerate two of them right there.
Oh, sorry about that.
Monday memo is free.
Right.
And that's a kind of small teaser edition of briefing memo, and briefing memo is my big fat trends and studies and strategic significance letter.
Right, and that's a subscriber thing, and how much is it?
That is going to be $49.95 because we're going to make the archives fully available.
Okay,
that's going to happen next month.
That's good stuff. If you want to find out what's going on in the e-commerce world, Check that out. That's worth it. That's worth the money. But even the free one is nice. I get that one too. Wally, one of the things we're talking about, folks, we're talking about, I'm calling it e-commerce. He's calling it transactional commerce. But it's the same. It's basically the same thing. It's where people can go to your website and do something, and maybe buy something, but certainly take some action on your website. And Wally, if they get to your site and they buy stuff, and now the good news is they're buying stuff all over the internet. They, meaning the consumers. There's a new Forrester report out that's saying that's growing more and more every day, every week and year.
Right.
But they're predicting that there may be a problem with getting all the stuff delivered, that selling it may not be your biggest problem. One day there may be a log jam in actually getting this stuff out to people's houses and businesses.
Yeah, I read that. I disagree with it. I think their premise is right. We've been increasing two things in distribution over the last 10 years. The number of individual package shipments has increased dramatically.
Right, and that's where the problem is, because the big guys, the killer apps, the big dogs, they're shipping their stuff on pallets. To they got so much going to each little part of the world, they're shipping in pallets and breaking it up once they get there. But Luther and Lorene out there, you know, the little bitty business, they just ship maybe three things a day.
That's true.
And they wouldn't have a pallet in a year.
No, they wouldn't. But I think it's going to be okay for them. And the reason I do is that while we've spent that 10 years with the shipment sizes changing, mm-hmm. the whole distribution network has been changing. You compare a shipping warehouse today to a shipping warehouse that was built 10 years ago, and what you see is way less square footage, a lot more what's called cross-docking, mm-hmm. where trucks are on opposite sides, bigger parking lots, smaller warehouses, a lot of velocity up. It isn't just UPS and FedEx that have been adapting to this. We're seeing a number of small local courier services ramp up. We're seeing many shipping solutions.
The U.S. Postal Service is getting better at this too.
Well, it couldn't have gotten much worse.
That's a good point. What do you agree with me?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I do, and I think they're learning. But I also think that one of the things you're going to start to see is some of these companies like Packmail and Mailboxes, et cetera, and those, mm-hmm. they're going to start offering shipping deals as well for small business, where they will do some of, you know, limited stocking and
right.
order fulfillment and shipping.
Yeah.
I have, in fact, had a deal with a Mailboxes, et cetera, place myself for shipping books that way. That's
right.
got to happen. That's got to happen. And that's why I don't think it's going to clog up the way Forrester thinks it will. I think they're right about what's happening. But I think they're wrong about the implications.
Now, the interesting thing that you just identified? A whole new industry.
That's right.
What you were just saying about mailboxes, et cetera, and other companies like that creating a fulfillment. Now, see, that word went by real fast, and a lot of people might not have picked up on it. But fulfillment, what you're basically talking about is boutique fulfillment, so to speak.
Yeah.
And you just identified the creation of a new industry. That's what that is.
What's happened because of the internet is that a whole bunch of businesses suddenly have got to do fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
We work with a couple of small retail stores. Small retail stores are great at handing you the package over the counter at the cash wrap.
Mm-hmm.
What they're not great at is shipping. They don't know how to do it. They may not even have a space for it.
Well, plus the fact, yeah, and since they're not good at it, it's almost cost prohibitive for them to do it. They haven't charged you enough to make up for that.
Yeah, and they can't.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're looking at places doing is setting things up where what they do is they do the picking from the shelves. There's a real interesting thing I'm working on with a couple of clients where we've got a courier service picking stuff up, and a couple of home businesses doing the packing, and then taking the stuff down to a local UPS drop.
Very interesting. Wally, stand by. Folks, when we come back, we're going to get Wally to tell us when people shop online. He's done a lot of research on this and written some information about it. I'm looking forward to getting him to tell you about that. 888-822-8255. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 44 After. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blastingame, the Small Business Advocate. Wally Bach is our guest and our good friend this hour, and Wally is helping us to understand what's going on out there in the world of e-commerce, and we're talking about some specific things, some best practices that you can conduct and help you do to be successful online. I want to remind you that Tom Feltenstein is going to be joining us in the next hour. His book is Uncommon Wisdom, and we're going to talk about, one of the things we're going to talk about is how to be happy. And Wally's book is all about having balance in your life, and you know, those of you who have been listening to my show for a while know that I try to talk about that as much as possible, because you can make all the money in the world, but if it doesn't make you, if you aren't happy, then I think you may not have, in my opinion, you haven't been successful. And we're going to talk about those things when Tom joins us. By the way, I want to remind you, my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and you can go there and listen to this interview with Wally Bach until this show is replaced with the next show, which won't be until Monday. So you can hear the show all weekend if you go there and click on the on-demand button on my website. Wally, let's talk about when people do their shopping and browsing online.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, here's the flash. They do it at night.
You know,
that's significant.
You know, when I check my stats, you know, sometimes I get lots of hits at 2 in the morning.
Well, here's what happens. Most people are out there working at whatever they work at all day long. They get home, they do, you know, whatever they do for dinner and the kids and getting the homework and the kids up to bed and stuff.
Yep.
And then they sit down.
Yep.
Now, by the way, if you talk about best practices, one best practice is, if you got a website, you got to be doing log analysis at least once a quarter or so, taking a look at what's coming in, where it's going, what the track is.
And you start once a quarter, you'll go to once a month, and it won't be long before you'll be doing it every day.
Well, it really depends for a lot of clients, Jim. For most of our clients, we only go in once a quarter and do that for them.
Is that right?
Because the patterns don't change enough.
Yeah.
If we're doing a special promotion or something, yeah, then we'll want to watch and see how that's going and whether people are getting where we want them to go, whether they're flowing the way we need them to flow. But let's go back to the time thing. There's a real implication that goes, I mean, if you look at log analysis, you see two things right away. Number one is the majority of your traffic is going to come at night. And number two is, on most sites, a huge chunk, in a lot of places more than half, is going to come from America Online. Now, those two observations give you some very distinct outcomes in terms of design.
Tell us why AOL.
Because lots of people are using it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're
the big dog in
they are the big dog on the porch.
On the porch.
By some estimates, and I think Forrester is the people who did this, they account for about 40% of all web traffic.
They're the big dog portal.
And, you know, people are coming off that, and they're coming to your site. Now, that probably means that they've got a limited capacity browser. So you design for that.
Okay.
The night thing has a similar implication. You've got to design so that your site will work when people can't call you. You know, it's got to be simple.
Yeah.
It's got to be intuitive. It's got to work.
That's
when you're
point.
Not there, or you got to supply people to be there. And for most small businesses, that's not really an option.
I'm going to quote right out of this article that you wrote, your site has to be designed so it stands on its own.
Yep.
That's what you mean by that. It's
got
to be totally capable of standing on its own when they can't reach you.
If I'm on your site and I want to buy something, I need to be able to do it. I need to be able to find it. I need to be able to, you know, to price it. I need to be able to complete the transaction all by myself. And that's not as easy as it sounds. We're so used to transactions being face-to-face that we very often don't walk through. So another thing you'll find in that article from Small Business Tips is you test it. When you put people down, you watch what they do and you see how they do it. Take that log analysis. And
literally let them watch them, stand behind them physically as they use your site?
You betcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing we do a lot of is web advisory teams. This music instrument retailer I've referred to a couple of times, we got a team of music educators who are one of the key markets for that store. And, I mean, we got them hats and jackets and everything. And their job is to go in once a week and try to do stuff and tell us what comes out.
Another thing that you point out is that people shop at noon a lot.
Now, oh, yeah, you can watch. If you're doing a lot of sites, you can watch lunch move across the country.
Just because of the volume.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and the reason that I think that's important to point out is if you're there at noon, you don't have a lot of time, so your site better load quick, and they don't need to take about 9 steps to get to the payday, which is they give you when they give you the credit card.
No, they want to get in and get it done. I mean, I've read a lot about how, you know, people are signing off in the middle of the process, and I think that's true. I think one of the reasons it doesn't get stated enough for why they do that from our research is that it takes too long.
Mm-hmm.
There's a major site out there, major catalog supplier, that I happen to like their catalog, but if I go on their website, it takes me 16 steps to buy something.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Nuts.
That's a killer. There's no telling how much business they're losing because of that. Because you know what? You can always go somewhere else and get everything that they have to sell.
That's right.
Bye-bye. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 50 after the hour. We're going to come back and wrap up the hour with Wally Bach. We're talking about doing business online. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Every time you kiss me, I'm still not certain that you know.
We are back. Thank you very much. And my good friend, Wally Bach, member of our Brain Trust and the president of... What is the name of your company? Bach Information Group.
Yeah, Bach Information Group doesn't really exist anymore, Jim.
Well, but you need to get me some new information then.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, what is the new company?
We haven't got a name yet.
Ah,
we're still figuring out.
It's going to be a surprise, folks. We'll launch the new name on the Small Business Advocate Show.
Actually, what it looks like we're going to do is we're going to have more than one.
Ah, okay. Well, all right. What's next? We were talking about when people are on your website, when people are shopping, I should say, online.
Yeah.
You were telling us some more about that.
Well, just, you know, I think the lesson there is it's got to be by itself. It's got to work at night. It's got to work with that AOL browser.
Stop. What do you mean by that? What has it got to do to work with the AOL browser? I don't know what that means.
Well, you don't need to know what it means. What you need to do is give you whoever you designs your site the instructions that it's got to do that. Because if you're looking at half, roughly, or even a third of your traffic coming from that one site,
mm-hmm.
using that one browser, you got to make sure it works there. And not everything does. That's not the most sophisticated browser in the world.
What?
Not a bad one.
So you're saying that AOL's browser is basically an unsophisticated browser.
Yep.
Actually,
what we tell our clients to do, the current AOL browser version is 4.0.
Yeah.
And we tell them to use the next one back.
3.0 or 3.5 or something?
3.0, yeah. Because it takes about 18 months for it to migrate through their system. They just got too damn many people. You can't afford to design otherwise.
Hmm.
I'll go and I'll get designers and say, I want to put this animation on. So we say, okay, let's test it with the AOL browser. You bring it up, and it comes up muddy, or it comes up slow.
That's what I wanted you to tell us. What he's talking about, folks, with when he says design for AOL and design one down from the current one, is you may be putting some stuff up on your website, and here's what happens. You get a call from your webmaster, and he says, hey, George, click on your website. I got your new stuff up, and here's dancing girls and ponies and flashing stuff and 3D video and all this kind of stuff. And you're all excited, you're all worked up about it, and then all of a sudden, you find out that the guy who's got 3.0 on AOL can't use any of it.
Yeah, here's Wally's rule for design simplicity, okay? You ready?
Yep.
If it blinks, if it moves, if it splits the screen, or it gives you a message that says loading, it's probably a bad idea.
Ah, okay.
Doesn't mean you can't use that stuff.
But now that's today. A year from now, you may be able to do a little bit more. Right?
I don't think so.
Really?
I really don't. There's a lot of reasons that have nothing to do with technology why, for example, frames are a bad idea most of the time.
Right. I understand frames. You say frames are a bad idea. But you're talking about from the standpoint of what people want to see with their eye.
Well, the idea is that you've got a functional informational medium.
Yeah.
So all of the design features need to feed that.
Mm-hmm.
So an animation, for example, can call attention to a part of the screen, but if you leave it up too long...
Yeah.
What happens is it creates tension. It loses its eye-drawing value, and it creates a tension you don't want.
What if a button changes as you move the cursor over it? Is that
okay? Yeah, that little mouse over stuff.
Is that okay?
Yeah, but I don't I've never understood why it was particularly exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things that takes a lot of JavaScript to write.
Yeah.
It's fine. It can be a little bit of an attention caller.
Wally, that's got to be the last word. We got to wrap it up.
Okay.
The music. You did a great job.
I'll shut up now.
Good information today, as always. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, good. Thanks for covering, Jim.
See you, man.
Bye.
Bye. Got to wrap it up for this hour, folks. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.